You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your buddy, your pal, your believer in all things art, history, because the two are intertwined. You can be part of the conversation by calling or texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, lots of great conversation in this second hour. We're here with you until 11, and I thought, what better way to have we're talking all things entertainment, and I think we're going to talk about how entertainment informs the wider public, you know, how we turn maybe to, whether it's comedians, artists, creators, what they are doing to impact our basic experience in this world. But I wanted to bring on a friend and someone who's in the world of entertainment, in the world of performance, writer, director, actor, comedian, host of Nightlight here on Civic Media. Mr. Pete Schwabe is our guest this morning. Good morning, Pete. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Greg. How are you? I'm doing great. Thanks.
Great. Excellent. Wonderful. Now, you are the host of Nightlight. It's on from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday here on the Civic Media Network. And it's like what you guys talk about. It's like we talk about a lot of things going on in entertainment. But I think the great thing I love about it is that it's not just like entertainment tonight where it's a surfacey view of it. You're talking to directors, writers, actors, producers, authors. And you are almost all of those things yourself. You are a performer. You are a writer. And, you know, what is your history in that? Like, as far as like projects you worked on, why you're here in Wisconsin again? I know you've talked about this before, but I want people to get to know who you are. So a little history on Mr. Pete Schwabe.
I started doing stand-up comedy when I was 20 years old. I was at DePaul University, became a touring comedian, and back then, you know, you're a comedian too. I'm sure you know what this is like, Greg. But back then, it was during a comedy boom.
Yes.
And I started working probably before I was ready. It was the early 90s. And there was all kinds of TV shows to be on. And my bar was not like to be famous or whatever. I just wanted to be on Evening at the Improv.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sitting in our family room in Marinette, Wisconsin, and they used to do these little vignettes outside the club in between sets. And in one, like, it was Rick Overton, Robin Williams, and a couple other guys hanging out talking, and they would film that for like a minute, and they're laughing, and it's out on Melrose Street. And I was like, man, how great would that be just to be one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
So I started doing stand-up comedy and had a pretty good run. I was only a comedian for like 8 years, but got on TV a bunch and toured, and I had a ball in my 20s, and it got to be on Evening at the Improv. It was one of the last shows that they recorded.
Pete Schwabe canceled Evening at the Improv.
Welcome to the Circling the Drain episode of Evening at the Improv. It was like there was like 16 people in the audience.
Oh man.
It wasn't even at Melrose. It was like at the Santa Monica Improv, and Twiggy was the host. So that was kind of cool. But like, it was just, it was bad. But anyway, that was my goal. I did it. And it was really fun. And then I segued into writing and got lucky and sold some stuff. And only one of, you know, there were movie scripts, and only one got made, called A Guy Thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the others will ever get made or not, but you know, it was interesting. And then I've done some hosting. After about 14 years in LA, my wife and I just decided, you know, I was working on this show called Sports Soup, and it was a blast. I got to sit in a room with like these other funny people and watch sports and write jokes.
Yeah.
And it lasted for, I think, a little over 2 years. And when that canceled, we're like, you know, I can write movies from Wisconsin. My kids were, you know, still in grade school. And my wife and I have this situation where both of our parents lived in Marinette.
Yeah.
Because we're both transplants, and we met, you know, after college and that, and we're like, let's do it. You know, we love going back there at Christmas in the summer, so we just kind of rolled the dice and went to Marinette, Wisconsin. And since I've been here, I'm still writing and occasionally doing stand-up, trying to put projects together, and working at Civic Media with you, dude, and it's awesome.
What is it like to be in LA from Marinette, meet somebody a woman and you're like, I'm from Marinette, and she says, me too. What happens in that moment? What kind of spark goes off? You're like, I at the very least need to get to know you better, because that is in LA almost an impossible gamble.
Okay, so I hope I didn't mislead you, Greg. My wife was a transplant from Marinette. She lived in Marinette, mm-hmm. not LA. I
didn't know. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no,
the love story is destroyed.
All so right. So the odds are like slim to none. But you know, everyone I met in LA was great wherever they were. There's a lot of transplants and there's a lot of people from Wisconsin out there and Illinois. So it was fun. It was a blast.
I remember hearing somebody, a friend of mine who lives out there, and she said, yeah, all your friends who move here, they always end up getting good jobs and getting promoted really quickly. I'm like, why is that? Goes, because you guys have a work ethic that a lot of people here in California do not have. You have a very Midwestern wake up, get the work done. You're done with work, but like we don't see it as it's not a negotiation, and we don't think, well, I showed up, should I get paid? No, you got to actually do something. So right. I thought that was very interesting and a very big pat on the back for Wisconsin. But speaking about film, as it's still a few weeks away, the Oscars are coming up. Are you the type of person who you want to watch all the, at least the major Oscar films before viewing the award ceremonies, or are you just like, I'll watch the ones I like and we'll go from there? But how invested are you in the Oscars as a thing?
You know, it's interesting. I would say about 10 years ago, Greg, I really got into the Oscars. And I because, I mean, I've always watched. I've gone to parties and stuff like that. It was like the Super Bowl. It's fun to watch with a group. You talk during the commercials. And it's a fun event. But I like it now, whether I'm at a party or not, just because I've really, like, I've been in show business my whole adult life, but I really see the importance now of it even more in award shows. And people go, oh, awards. Yeah, I know it's hard to pick the best film, but I think anything that celebrates the entertainment industry, I've become a huge entertainment industry geek. And I think it's so important and it brings people together, much like sports. And that's why I wanted to do a show like Nightlight, because movies bring us together, TV shows, music, comedy. It's all a collective experience. And I've really gotten into it. I try to see all the films that are at least nominated for Best Picture. And I really get into it.
We'll talk about Best Picture in a moment, but I want to ask a question based on what you just said. So what is something, you know, when we look at the awards ceremonies, we see glitz, glamour, we see cynicism towards the process itself. When it comes to the entertainment industry, and I'll keep it to like TV and movies, what are the things that you feel should be celebrated more that we as regular folk don't see that would, you know, be exciting?
You know, that's interesting. I would say the craft and the art of it more than the celebrity angle of it. Or, you know, I think like whereas reality TV is all about the players, who are these people? There's loose plots. They're basically written, but writers don't get credit. It's all producers trying to do this. I would love to see people get more invested in story and the art and craft of TV or filmmaking, or what it takes to make great music. Like when you think about someone who, I know people who have written great songs, but when you go into a recording studio and you see what a producer can do, to the composition of it and to the arrangement of a song and take it to the next level. Like, I don't think people really know what goes into that. You know, when it comes to sports, for example, we see these training videos and behind the scenes and all that. I would love to see more of that for entertainment, because frankly, you know, and you've got kids, Greg, when we put our kids in school, it's, well, the lessons of sports do all this. And, you know, the same stuff happens when you're in a play or a band. You work together and it's striving toward a goal. So I would love to see that kind of more of a deep dive into the arts.
First of all, as a point of order, I do not have children.
Oh,
I have a dog and she's lovely. But
oh no, I think I thought your dog was one. I'm sorry, Greg.
She's my daughter. But I understand the point you're making, because I have friends who have kids and I understand what they go through. I listen to what they go through on a daily basis. You know, I think, you know, if you listen to maybe the right interviews or the right podcasts, you can get an understanding to that, because you listen to directors and producers and actors and writers talk about these films that come out. And yeah, you may see the Super Bowl commercial in February and you may go see the movie in June and then it's over for you. But whomever's in charge of that, whether it's, you know, the director who's like a Francis Ford Coppola or whatever, you know, this project has been with them for like 1.5 to 2 years, if not longer. It's been a full-time gig pursuing the creation of this project. And I think something you speak to, Pete, that's very important to talk about is the fraternity, the family of it all, to surround yourself with people who can help foster the idea, who can offer and to create the idea, foster it, add suggestions, really make it a community of putting out that best piece of art possible. I think that's something that, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think people truly understand. They see high-priced dresses, they see awards, they see big, you know, like they made $20 million on this movie. But a lot of these folks are like, yeah, well, I also spent 22 years making this film. So I feel like if anything, I've gotten underpaid. But, you know, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I want to, and when we come back after the break, I want to talk about what you've been involved with as far as projects recently, things you want to create, things you've created, you're trying to get off the ground, because you are a writer, you are a producer, you're trying to get your projects out there. And also with the creation of the film, I don't know the official term, but there is now the ability to get tax credits here in Wisconsin to make movies in Wisconsin. And I think that will change the landscape for artists here in the state. But we're going to talk more about that with Pete when we come back. Really quick before we go to the break, as far as best pictures, who do you think is the front runner? Who do you want to win? Or maybe it's like, who do you want to win? Who do you know will win?
Boy, that's a great question. We've talked about this quite a bit on Nightlight. I think my favorite film was One Battle After Another. Mm-hmm. I thought it had everything. I love it. Yeah. I loved Sinners 2. I liked mm-hmm. One Battle a little more. I kind of want Sinners to win the Oscar because, did you see it?
I've not seen Sinners yet. I have to put myself in a place to do that because it's a scary movie and I'm a flighty cat.
There are some moments where you jump, but it's got everything. Music, costumes, acting, script. It's different. It's just one of those movies that you smell, like you could see, you could put yourself in the world. And I don't think, so I would love it if that won Best Picture because mm-hmm. I think it's very deserving. But honestly, I there's so many good films this year, and One Battle After Another is outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I have yet to see. I'm going to see it before the Oscars. It's on my, it's just when it comes to movies that are ticking up towards 3 hours, I'm like, all right, I got to make sure I have a Sunday afternoon. I've got nothing else to do. Put my phone down. Pay attention, because I think that's important to the art. As what you said, this is a piece of art, and I don't want to sit there scrolling on my phone going, oh, there's guns now. Okay, cool. Leonardo DiCaprio. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I got to make a phone call. I'll be right back. Pause it. I got to go to the bathroom. Come back. You know, I like, for those films, I feel like you need to give attention, undiverted attention, and I'm going to do that before the Oscars. But we're going to talk more about the Oscars, more about Pete Schwabe's projects with Pete Schwabe. He's the host of Nightlight here on Civic Media, 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday. Be part of the conversation. What do you think about the Oscars? What do you think about Hollywood? What do you think about entertainment? Who do you go for your information? Is it comedians? And why is that maybe a problem? But more coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your buddy, your pal, your believer in all things you're wanting to do, whether it's woodworking, painting, fixing a car. I believe in your dreams. And you're with us this morning. We're here with you until 11. You can be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I'm coming to you live from Radio Park here in Racine. Dom is coming to you from Madison. And our guest, Pete Schwabe, from the Mecca of Metropolitans, Marinette, Wisconsin. Mr. Pete Schwabe is the host of Nightlight here on Civic Media, 5 to 8 every night here. Welcome back. Hey, so Pete, we were talking about the Oscars. We were talking about your thoughts on the best pictures. And you said that, you know, it's going to be a, it's going to be a one battle after another for these movies. Ha ha ha.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I agree with you as far as Sinners goes. I want Sinners to win everything just because I want them to walk away and be like, take that Variety, take that Hollywood.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. I'm not as invested. I'm glad Conan is back because I think only Conan should host the Oscars from now on.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on the Oscars as far as, like, you know, do you think there might be an upset? Do you think there might be something going on there? Like, you know, it, it could easily be one of those two movies, but don't count this film out because there's good stuff every year.
You know, I've only seen half of them. I've got quite a few films to see before the event, but, like, I loved – this isn't going to win, and there's kind of a bias right now against Netflix, which is sort of deserved, but, like, I really liked Train Dreams, just a movie about a guy's life, and it was really solid. One upset I could see, Greg, is, and first of all, let me say that Sinners and One Battle After Another, I love that they're not franchises. I love that they're not superhero films. Mm-hmm. Those films don't get made as much as they used to, and certainly not comedies. So, and both of those have funny elements, but they're not comedies. But I mean, those kind of movies in general aren't really being churned out by studios anymore, which is, to me, is depressing. But one upset I could see, and I hope it happens, even though I haven't seen Hamnet yet, Jessie Buckley is considered the front runner. It's basically considered a slam dunk for her to win Best Actress. But in Song Sung Blue, Kate Hudson is nominated. She was so good as Claire Sardina. Like, she and Hugh Jackman play the Sardinas, a Milwaukee couple that founded the tribute, Neil Diamond tribute band Lightning and Thunder. Hugh Jackman is good, but he's Hugh Jackman. He's like put a wig on and he's playing this role. Kate Hudson like kind of disappears into the role of Claire and she is just outstanding. So I would love to see her win.
I love Kate Hudson. I love this story. I remember growing up with this group in my life and then all of a sudden one day saying they're making a movie about them and it just
really nice.
I would love to see that. I mean, I love Kate Hudson. I feel like she is somebody who personally, like, she came on really big back in like the early 2000s. She was a kind of an America's, much like her mother, you know, and her mother an Oscar winner. And like a lot of actors, you know, they'll have ebbs and flows, but I feel like this is a big point for her, you know, Oscar nomination. If she wins, this is a new avenue for her life. But yeah, I think that would be great. I'd love to see the upsets, especially the movies fine, but like, I love to see when it's the actors who are nominated, the upsets, because that to me says those people who are voting vote maybe with their conscience versus what they thought was popular. And I think going back to what you said before, as far as, you know, movies not being a franchise or a comic book movie, which honestly, like a lot of those movies don't get nominated anyways, but those are the ones that always get the attention. But right. I think the fact that there are two films that have original material in it that are being so heavily favored to as great films of 2025, I think that speaks volumes of where these film companies can go in the future with what they create.
Boy, that would be something. I would love to see that because you've got so many, you know, I mean, I've got, not to sound arrogant or anything, I've got scripts sitting on the shelves that will never get made that are people were crazy about when we sold them. I'm like, why aren't those getting, and I'm one guy. Like the shelves in Hollywood are filled with these movies, but they're making another Transformers or they're making another Avengers or whatever it is. And those movies are great. I got nothing against those movies. But yeah, there are so many stories out there. I don't think, frankly, a lot of people in studio executive positions know what a great movie is or have a producer they can trust to say, I got to make this, like a Harold Ramis or the Farrelly brothers or whomever. So it'll be interesting to see if this does affect things. I also want to say Michael B. Jordan was great. When I first heard he was playing two characters, I'm like, come on, what, this is like an Eddie Murphy or Robin Williams thing, like where they want to show how. No, he was great. He played twin brothers, Smoke and Stack, and the movie's just so stylistic. I love it. So if he won Best Actor and Kate Hudson won Best Actress, that would be pretty cool.
That would be. I have a feeling that I have a good feeling that Michael B. Jordan might win. I just feel like it's and honestly, if not this time, he will win one day.
Yeah,
and same with, I mean, whatever Ryan Coogler walks away with, this is just, I mean, he's been around for a while and his movies are fantastic and he has such a deep love and I say personal stance to the process of making art, along with he and his wife are production partners, that, you know, he's going to be one of those gentlemen who for the next 25, 30 years is going to dominate, because he will make good projects, because I feel like he will make nothing less. He's not going to make a bunch of movies. He's going to say, like, you know, that like Stanley Kubrick thing of, like, you only come out with a movie every once in a while, but every time it comes out, you have to see it because it's a Ryan Coogler movie and it's amazing. But I think that this is the beginning for what will be Ryan Coogler's domination of Hollywood.
So. Yeah, and it's hard to say. Like, you got Coogler and Paul Thomas Anderson. Neither one of them have ever won a Best Directing Oscar, I believe. So they're both deserving. We'll see what happens. It should be fun.
Speaking of projects, scripts on the shelf, we're going to talk more about the things that Pete Schwab is working on, because he is a writer. He is a director. He does all the things behind the screen, behind the camera, and in front of the camera, including hosting Nightlight from 5 to 8 every night here at Civic Media. But don't go anywhere. We're going to talk more with Pete about movies and movie festivals here on Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Network. You are a part of the show. You are sharing time with us, and we'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVICLY, a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Lots of great programming still ahead, including Tom Hartman after the 11 o'clock news. And if you ever want to catch up on things, maybe you missed a show, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, download programs, listen to them when you'd like. You can also get the Civic Media app, listen anywhere in the world. It's absolutely free, but it's a great little app. Whether you want to call, text, you can get in touch with us. You can listen. You can also get your news there. All great, all free. Download it today. Put it on your device of choice. We are talking to my colleague and my friend, Pete Schwab. He is the host of Nightlight here on Civic Media, 5 to 8, Monday through Friday. Talking to things entertainment. We were talking about the Oscars. We were talking about projects and writing. Pete, you are a writer. You said before, you know, as I feel like when you are a stand-up comedian, you de facto are a writer. That's what you can call yourself as well. But you have written films. You said earlier that you have lots of projects that are sitting on a shelf that have been bought. What are you working on now that you are looking forward to maybe putting into production or looking to find interest in creating?
I may have misled you, Greg. I just write letters. I keep up on my correspondence. So
oh,
I don't know where
okay.
This... no, pardon me. I have a... I've got projects in development, but it's funny. Like, when you host a radio show where you talk about entertainment every night, I sort of am like, you know, this is easier than writing. Like, it's a lot of work building a show and putting a show together every night. But when you... Writing is tedious. And
it's
right
lonely
now,
too. It's lonely,
especially when you write movies. So it's interesting. My son has become a writer, and we're trying to do a project this summer—a feature film that we hope to enlist utilize the incentives that have recently passed. But yeah, all I can do is at this point with some of the projects I have that I'm trying to see through. There's an independent film. There's a half-hour sitcom. Make phone calls. Where are we at? What's happening? Like, the writing is done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I'm kind of at the point where, do I want to start a new script when I've got other things that I'm still trying to push along in the development stage? So, like I said, writing is, and you know, you're a comedian, and it's tedious. It's like a math equation. And I'm not particularly good at math. So.
It's a long haul too. And, you know, the writing is fun, but then when you have to get into the grind of the business, that can be daunting. And you're up against thousands of other people pushing tens of thousands of other ideas. And I understand why sometimes you might say, you know what, I'd rather watch a movie and talk about it on the show than do another pass on this script. And I think, you know, that's something too, is like the process of it all for you. You know, do you have a process? Do you just have an idea? Or do you sit down on a day and go, I'm writing today. I'm going to write down every idea. Nothing's bad. Everything can be made into something. Or do you have to find that spark of inspiration?
I think that's what you have to do. You have to force yourself to do it, because it's like leaving the gym. You never go, oh, I'm really sorry I did that. It's the same thing with writing. When you sit down, typically you at least come up with a shred or a germ of something that you like, even if you weren't feeling it. And it's a good exercise. But it's interesting. Like I just mentioned, my son, he does these reels on TikTok and Instagram, and they're getting millions and all these views. And I'm like, he films it, he edits it, and he posts it within like 2 hours. And I'm like, you know, I used to think stand-up was a fast turnaround. Oh, I thought of a joke while I was at the mall during the day. I can try this tonight. But some nights you're not working. Like, it can take a few days.
Yeah.
Writing, especially screenplays, is such an arduous process. Like, it could take you months or a year to finish a first draft. Then you get notes, you go back at it. Will it sell? I don't know. And you've already put a year's worth of work into it. And if it sells, will it get made? I don't know. Who knows? You know, it's a, you really have to love that medium. And I look at what you know, kids these days do with the reels, and they're, some of them are really funny, and they're it's like you just get them out there right away. You have instant feedback, which is desirable.
Sometimes the feedback is great. Sometimes you're like, why am I doing? Nobody likes me. You know, you mentioned before the tax credits that are now in Wisconsin. For folks who don't understand, certain states in the United States have what's called film registries or film councils, where those states, best example is Georgia. When they opened up theirs, I mean, basically Marvel lives in Georgia and Australia. And it's such a lucrative industry that Pinewood Studios in England, where all the James Bond movies, it's a legendary movie studio. They have an American store here in Georgia because that's how strong their tax incentive program is. For a long time, Wisconsin didn't have that, but this past year it went through. Talk more about your thoughts on that and how you as an artist are going to utilize those programs to make this process a little more financially feasible for you.
I think it's interesting. Like, I still don't 100% understand the Wisconsin incentives. I'm so glad we have them because, you know, but I think they're good to have, because I think people who are committed to shooting projects in Wisconsin, as am I, will do everything and fight tooth and nail to do them. I made a film years and years ago called The Godfather of Green Bay. There were no incentives. The only incentives we got were favors from people in Marinette or Menominee that just wanted to help. And that goes a long way. But like, Georgia did it right. They have a culture now. Like, in Wisconsin, I hope we develop a culture, not just to say, come here and make your project and you're eligible for 25% of some type of a return. Sometimes it's in the form of rebates, sometimes it's tax incentives. I still don't 100% understand what Wisconsin passed, but I will, because there's two projects I want to shoot here. But I think you have to foster that culture too. Like, I would, and kind of what I said earlier, Greg, I would love to see more music and theater and film taught at a young age, just like these young football clubs or track or whatever. Like, get in that same wheelhouse, because look, it's cold here 6 months out of the year. There's nothing wrong with some good indoor sports like theater or music or whatever. Let's jam on this, and let's instill this in young people in Wisconsin, so that the idea of taking away incentives someday will never happen. Because I've seen it happen in Michigan. We were close to shooting a project about 8 years ago, and my partner on this project, which we're still trying to get made, lives in Michigan, and they yanked the incentives away. And the reason is, well, we need roads and infrastructure. I'm like, that's not where that money should come from.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to take the film incentive, you know. So in Georgia, that won't happen, because they've built a solid foundation to keep this going, and people go there. And now actors are moving to Atlanta instead of LA or New York. So they've done it right. I hope we get that right here in Wisconsin. You know, it hurt me a few years ago to be looking at Minnesota, that has very aggressive incentives. They have a state incentive of 25%, then they have another 20% if you shoot up in the Iron Range. And you can utilize both of them. You're not going to get like a full 45% back, but you could do maybe 35 if you work at the system well. Yeah. So I would love to see Wisconsin do that. But this is a great start, and I tip my hat to people like Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming and Kirk Krause and a lot of other people who kind of led the way on this. And it's a great start.
Nathan Deming is someone we talked to on the show many times. We talked to get to know about the incentives, and I looked it up really quick. The incentives offer a 30% transferable tax credit on qualifying in-state spending for productions of film here in Wisconsin. And we talked about that before and just after it was passed. And, you know, I think it was either you or Nathan said that you know filmmakers who refuse to make the movie anywhere but Wisconsin, so they just don't make the movie because it's expensive. And now this offers them the opportunity to create this art. And I think tying back to something you said earlier with regard to the film industry itself and executives, I think if our politicians who are in Madison have discussions with not just creators, not just artists, but people from like producers, the people who work with the bottom lines, the budgets, and say, look, if you do these things, we can do these things, and the state can very much generate profit and revenue. And from an economic standpoint, this makes sense. And I think what you said regarding getting kids into the arts like a sport, I think is very interesting, that we have parents out there who will pour all their money into the chance of maybe their kid becoming an NFL or NBA player when those chances are slim. What's the difference been saying, I want to put my kid into drama, into acting, and this? It's slim, but if we put the work in and they have talent, there's no difference to me about taking a kid and putting them in football camp and putting them in theater camp. If you're doing it and they have the passion, it's the same thing to me and just as legitimate.
I totally agree with you. And I was one of those kids that played sports and I was in theater. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of dabble when you're in high school. These kids now that say, or they go to just an arts high school, or they go do football camp, that's a great point. But I will say this in regard to there's a slim chance. When you know, where we lived in LA, everybody at our school, at the kids' school, probably started out as an actor. Well, mm-hmm. there are so many peripheral jobs yes. around the entertainment business that I don't think I certainly didn't realize when we moved to LA. There's truck drivers and carpenters and set designers and special effects people and caterers and makeup and wardrobe. I mean, it is a huge industry. And mm-hmm. so I say, go for it. Try out for a yeah. play. If you don't get it, my daughter is a actor and she's in college. If she didn't get a part, she was painting sets. She was helping out any way she could. It's just an immersive, it's a great community. And I think it's the same way for bands too, or marching bands, whatever there is in high school. But I know that in theater, if you get started, there are a lot of different avenues you can take. Yeah, you're not going to be a famous actor, most likely, but you might have a great experience and that might lead you to something that makes you a very good living.
Well, and also I look at it from the point of view as a trade too, you know, using your daughter as an example. You go out to LA and you say, all right, I'm going to go do some theater, but I'm also going to moonlight doing this. And you work your way up building trust and relationships. Someone says, hey, I know her. She's great. Bring her on to do this thing. And you say yes to the opportunities. You grind, you sacrifice. You have to, if this is what you want to do. And then also I would say, there's no rule that says you have to be a famous actor. There's no rule Correct. That says you have to be, you know, the Brad Pitt A-list $20 million. Is it nice? If that's what you want, then fine, go for it. But there are people out there who make a fine living as character actors, doing smaller films, doing commercials. If acting is what you want to do, then there are ways of doing it out there that allow you the opportunity to make money, to live, to grow and create. But, you know, for me, I mean, at this point in my life, if someone said, we could make you into an A-list celebrity, I'd say, no. No, thank you. Can I make $500,000 a year doing character work and have a small house? Perfect. I'll take it. Yes. And then you're living your life and living your dream. And you're free to do the things you want.
Absolutely. I think Bill Murray said, what's it like? Or I want to be rich and famous like you. And he's like, try rich. I don't know if you want to be famous. And, you know, I don't know that I ever wanted to be famous. I wanted to be successful.
Yes.
And if fame followed, great. And I've, you know, been part of some really cool stuff. It's all I could have ever asked for. You just reach a point where you don't care about that. You just want to be able to make a living doing what you like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking about doing what you like, one of the things that you're going to be doing is speaking at a film festival in Door County. We're going to close out the show with Pete Schwaba talking about that. And, yeah, we're going to have a great time. Don't go anywhere. Be a part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Comments on the live stream. Love to hear from you, talking to Pete Schwaba from Nightlight. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your believer in all things you and the world around you. You are here with us sharing your time, and I appreciate you. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to have Tom Hartman, and it's going to be a great show, great day ahead. If you ever want to catch up on shows, civicmedia.us/shows. Also, get that Civic Media app, put it on your device, and take us wherever you are in the world. And I mean that, in the world. We got text messages from all over the globe. And my goal is to have someone take the Civic Media app up to the International Space Station and be like, not a fan of your material, Greg. Not a fan at all. I don't care what the criticism is. If we're up there, we win. But we're talking to Pete Schwabe, the host of Nightlight. It's on from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday here on the network. And we've been talking about films, projects, all sorts of great things. The Oscars, we'll be talking more about the Oscars as they approach. But, Pete, you are going to be hosting a film festival coming up, or giving a, I'm sorry, you're doing a keynote speech at a film festival.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that and what goes into doing, to having that job versus a host. You mean, this is, all eyes are on you for your thoughts.
Yeah, I have not been asked to do this very often. I'm giving the keynote speech. As soon as this interview is over, I'm going to Google keynote speech and figure out what it is I have to say. But they asked me, it's the Door County Film Festival, and it's just this festival that has grown like gangbusters. And why not? Door County is gorgeous.
Yes.
There's a serious arts culture there. I'm not surprised at all that these guys, Kurt Krause, Chris Opper, and Antonio Polk, have elevated this festival. It used to be just shorts. Now they allow feature films as well.
Now they allow pants.
Well, those are optional, which
comedy
is also another huge win. But yeah, Friday night I'll be giving a speech to help kick off the festival at 5:30 at the Northern Sky Theater. They've got a great venue. And I'll just talk for a few minutes about independent film. I've been hosting a show on PBS Wisconsin for years since I moved back here about independent film called Director's Cut. Which has kind of gone away. We still do a couple episodes a year, and I introduce all the POV and independent lens films. But I'm a huge fan of independent film. I think it's a necessary part of society, and it should be celebrated. And anybody who hasn't been to a film festival, I cannot encourage you enough to go and be part of that culture. The films you see will be great. The Q&As with directors and filmmakers and artists are outstanding. I've hosted so many of those over the years, and I learned just as much from them as I do from making a movie, like watching other people in their craft and doing what they love. And the results of that is really enriching. So I encourage people to check out film festivals, and specifically this weekend, why not the Door County Film Festival? They've got a great lineup and it's going to be a really good time.
And I think that, you know, someone who I've gone to the Milwaukee Film Festival a few times, I really, really enjoyed. And, you know, when we think of festivals, we always think of the big ones, the big stars, the directors, all the money behind it. But I think that when it comes to these independent film festivals, you see these creators at a different stage, working so hard. And as you said, you know, if they're picked, there's a reason. And you may not love it, but I always go in saying what I'm watching is someone's heart and soul on the screen, and I appreciate and respect that. And I think that's very important. You know, you can transfer this to going to comedy festivals as well, local comedy festivals. You're seeing folks who are from all over the country driving to this place, usually for free, to be a part of this gathering. And I think that, yes, independent film is important. I have a deep love for 90s independent film, that grainy footage, like, you know, everything from, you know, the slacker Clerks era in that early to mid 90s time. But I think that's fantastic, especially highlighting a place like Door County, because you don't think of Door County Film Festival, but as you said, it's grown over the years and it brings legitimacy to what they're doing as well as the films they are showing.
And it grew, like, they were on the show, those three guys I just mentioned, Kurt, Chris, and Antonio were on the show a couple nights ago. It started in a coffee house. Showing short films in a coffee house, they could only fit like 30 people, and all of a sudden they've got a film festival on their hands. You know, so it was, I like how it came to be.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. You grow it organically, and you do it, as we said earlier, as a team. You do this together and you can create something beautiful. Really quick, Dom, can I get my tip music up really quick? I got a handy tip from Greg. I'm gonna do it on the cuff right here now. This is your handy tip from Greg. Seek out independent art, whether it's film, comedy, music. Go to the venues, pay the money, and appreciate it. If you're at a stand-up comedy show, laugh, clap, enjoy. Everything else, shut up. Don't say anything. We don't want to hear from you. But support independent art. It is in your neighborhood wherever you live. There's somebody out there strumming a guitar, trying to make a movie, trying to do something to express their artistic soul. Support that. You don't have to go every weekend. You don't have to go every night. But if you can, every once in a while, go to an independent movie, go to a local band that's playing original music, do that. You are helping so much. And you might meet someone great. That's my handy tip from Greg.
Now more than ever. That's a great tip.
Thank you very much. See,
sorry,
Pete Schwabba.
I stepped on your...
Oh, it's fine. No, it's fine. It's a Pete Schwabba approved tip.
Yeah, back to me. That's, yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about, right?
That's what I'm about. Pete Schwabba has been our guest. He is my colleague and friend. I appreciate you being here, Pete. He is the host of Nightlight, Monday through Fridays, 5 to 8 here on Civic Media. I will talk to you very soon, my friend. You have yourself a good day.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much, Greg.
No problem. I want to thank everyone who is involved in this show. I want to thank Tucker. I want to thank Dom. I want to thank traffic. I want to thank engineering. Without you, nothing works. We are just talking into microphones that are switched off. I want to thank everyone who called, texted, left a comment on the live stream. Without you, we do not exist. And I encourage you to come on back tomorrow. We have a great show for you tomorrow. We're going to be talking to a reporter from the Wisconsin Examiner about an article regarding ICE in Wisconsin, as well as my friend Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Communities. And it's sports with J.R. Radcliffe. So come on back tomorrow, 9 to 11. Be here. Be amazing. You are amazing. This has been the Civic Media Mid-Morning Show. I'm Greg Bach. Stay tuned. Stay close. Stay informed. Have a lovely day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.